This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Tayana Weingartner filling in for Lucy May. It is time to get our hands dirty and dig into the topic of composting. Here to explain how to get started, the do's and don'ts, and maybe answer your questions are Michelle Balls, Solid Waste Manager for Hamilton County Resource. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, nice to be here.
And Marie Hopkins, founder of Queen City Commons.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, all right. And Angelina DePaola, co-founder of CompPy, a system that uses digital sensors and a smartphone app to make home composting simple and easy. Hi.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome. What is modern composting? Who wants to take it?
Modern composting?
Yeah, like, so, what is it? What is composting?
So composting is basically controlling the decomposition of materials. You can do it in a small scale in your backyard. So you can have a compost bin where you are controlling your fruit and vegetable scraps and your leaves, where they're decomposing and how quickly they're decomposing. You can also do it on a community scale. So you can do it in a larger, you got a community garden or another site where you're, bringing community materials together in a little bit larger pile. And then you can do it on a large commercial scale where you're bringing in thousands of tons of material a year to compost. So you can do it on many different scales.
All right. And just off the top of the bat, like, what's the benefit to composting?
Well, there are quite a few benefits to composting. From our perspective at Hamilton County Resource, we're trying to reduce how much waste goes to the landfill. So about 30% of our residential waste is organic that could easily be composted. So we are looking at reducing that waste. It also has wonderful greenhouse gas benefits if you're looking to reduce how much greenhouse gases that your lifestyle creates. Composting is a great way to do that because you're not sending the food scraps to the landfill where they would decompose anaerobically and create methane. And you're also, the compost itself, when you add it to the soil, helps plants pull more carbon out of the atmosphere and store that in the ground.
Okay. And then maybe to Michelle or to Marie, getting started, what is the absolute simplest way to compost?
Yeah, I think the first thing is just to start collecting the food scraps that you produce in your kitchen, putting those in a bucket, and then that's kind of the one half of the ingredients that you need for your compost pile. And then the other side are kind of the carbon-based materials, so your leaves, any sort of like paper products or wood chips, that sort of thing. So collecting those two items and then mixing them together and finding a good spot in your backyard. And letting them sit and do their thing.
Okay. And I guess there's kind of two ways to do it. Let's start with the bin version. How do you pick a bin?
So you can go ahead.
Any bin kind of works.
Okay.
People like tumbling because it engages them. Stand bins also work really well because they get a lot of mass. But any bin creates compost and diverts waste from the landfill.
So what are we saying, like, when we mean bin? Like, is this kind of like a trash can? Anybody?
No, most of the bins, they look kind of like Darth Vader helmets. They're like black plastic, and they're usually open on the bottom, unless they're a tumbler, but they're usually open on the bottom to allow macroorganisms to come up through them. They usually have a locking lid, and we're actually having a compost bin sale right now with Hamilton County. So if you're interested in buying one it's a little under $50, you can. My favorite kind are the black plastic ones because they absorb heat and then they hold in moisture.
Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, we had a compost heap in the backyard, and it was like, I don't know, chicken wire or something. Mm-hmm. And like, I think my parents would throw grass and leaves in it. And every once in a while, I would like carry out food scraps. But it was just, like a big pile in the backyard. Is that still a thing? Do people still do it that way?
Yeah, totally. That works, you know.
DIY compost bin, mm-hmm. Get an old wooden pallet, some chicken wire, as you just mentioned. Everything works.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are the do's and don'ts? What can go in the compost? And then I'll ask separately what can't.
Sure.
So what can go?
So basically any compost pile, the smallest one you have in your backyard, vegetative-based materials. So your fruits, your veggies, if it came from a plant, it can go in your compost pile.
All right. What cannot go in your compost pile? Angelina.
So we normally say not to put animal products in your compost pile just because they attract more pests. However, really big compost piles can deal with the decomposition mm-hmm. of animal products such as bones. Home composting, you want to avoid that. As well as, you know, bread, more carby material that's going to attract pests. That's why a lot of people actually run into problems with composting is that they're not putting the right things in their compost and they're getting local pests that are coming and finding these food scraps, which are edible and tasty to them.
Okay, yeah. I want to talk about sort of a more industrialized version of it too. But first, tell us a little bit about Angelina, I'm so sorry. You created this CompPy device. I hope I'm saying this correctly. But first of all, like, how did this come about? Because my understanding is you were like in middle school when you came up with this idea.
Yeah, it was actually my eighth grade science fair project. And I got the idea because a lot of my classmates didn't know what composting was. And so I really wanted to make composting as mainstream as recycling. But how do you do that when it's just a pile in your yard? Mm-hmm. Well, you make it exciting and you make it engaging.
So you came up with this device. What does it do?
So it takes data from your compost and feeds that into an algorithm, which then gives suggestions on what you can do to care for your compost. And these suggestions are based on data that comes in daily. So you're always interacting with your compost on a daily basis. It also, the app provides useful information on learning how to compost, which materials are the nitrogen richer, the green, and which materials are more brown, and how do you create an even balance of that?
And why is that important? Why do you need an even balance?
So yeah, when you have too much nitrogen-rich material, it can become too wet and sloppy and not enough oxygen in the compost, which is needed to prevent the methane gas being produced when things decompose. And the carbon-rich stuff helps aerate that as well because it typically has a little bit more space in it. And it also balances out the chemicals within your compost.
Okay. And Marie, once we have this fabulous compost that we've just created and tracked, what do we do with it?
Right. Yeah. So compost is actually a really beautiful resource. You know, the food scraps and the things that we don't eat, other organisms are eating, and they're releasing those nutrients and making them available. So then we can use it, you know, in our gardens to grow more food or to, you know, make our landscapes look very beautiful.
Okay. We did have one person emailed in. They said, what about eggshells? Can those go in?
Yes, they can.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. So I compost, but I don't have a bin. I take mine somewhere. So Marie, can you tell us maybe a little bit about, for folks who are interested in composting but don't want to do the work or, you know, that Angelina has sure. so graciously learned and taught us about, what are our options?
Right. Yeah. So the next step is just to see where else can it be composted? Who else could do it for you? Looking around at your neighbors. Do any of your neighbors compost? Do they have a yard? There's a couple great platforms to use to find neighbors to make soil and share waste. And people can post their compost piles and you can find one and drop off there. The other side are finding drop-off programs. So Queen City Commons, we have a residential drop-off program in neighborhoods around Cincinnati. So yeah, if you can't compost at home.
Yeah, how does that work? Do you have to pay a membership or?
Yeah, so it's a monthly fee. It's a sliding scale based on your income. And then you can drop off as much as you need to. They're accessible 24/7.
Okay. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. If you have a question for our composting gurus, you can email us at talk@wvxu.org or call 513-419-7100. I've heard talk about worm composting. Anybody here know about worm composting? I don't know what it is, but it sounds wiggly.
I'd be happy to talk about it. Okay. Yes, it is pretty wiggly.
Michelle, tell
so
us.
So if you do not have a backyard or if you just prefer to compost at home, vermicomposting or worm composting is the best way to do it. It's not using the worms you would find, like an earthworm in your backyard. It's using special red wigglers, or they're called Isonida fetida. So you have to buy special worms. Mm-hmm. Your earthworms in your backyard will not be happy in these bins. But it's basically, you can buy worm wigwams and worm condos and stuff, but you can also make a little worm compost bin. We hold workshops every once in a while to show people how to do it. It's basically like a Rubbermaid container that has holes in it. You put some shredded, moist newspaper in there, and you can feed. Worms can eat half their body weight in vegetable and fruit scraps a day. So if you have a pound of worms, you can add up to a half a pound of food scraps and they will eat it. And they create vermicompost. And if you ever Google vermicompost and see how expensive it is, then you will be able to, I think you'll really want to have some of these worms because it's a really, it's the most pure, highest quality compost that you can buy. And it's actually really good for starting seeds. There's some chemicals in it that help seeds sprout. And so, and it's also a really fun thing to do with kids because they can see the whole cycle. So a lot of teachers will often have vermicompost bins, but you have to be willing to see all the little squiggly worms. If that grosses you out, I would not recommend vermicomposting.
I mean, I know that there are communities, I think I said, like Coleraine Township, I know, has a composting program. But why do we not have a citywide or a countywide composting program?
That's a great question. So we are currently, we're doing a study to try to improve the infrastructure for food scrap processing in the area. We do not have a facility big enough to accept food scraps from a whole community at this time. We've got some great small-scale community composting going on. Marie is doing some of it. And we are trying to build on that infrastructure. And so this study is designed around what kind of facility or facilities more likely can we bring in and what kind of capacity do we need that we could have something like a curbside collection of food scraps or larger scale commercial collection of food scraps in the area.
Is curbside food scrap collection, is that a thing in other places?
Absolutely it is. So there are communities where instead of having just like a, you know, you've got your garbage cart, your recycling cart, and your yard waste cart, you can also put food scraps in your yard waste cart. And then there's some communities where they just have a separate collection for food scraps. So it's happening in Ohio in some places as well. It's not just a California thing or a, you know, East or West Coast thing.
Okay, gotcha. There's also the concept of business composting. Marie's nodding her head. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Sure, yeah. So basically a scaled up curbside, but for businesses. You know, you give them a big rolling trash bin, they fill it up with food scraps, and then we can come by and pick it up and compost it with farms and gardens around town.
Okay. And then tell us a little bit, so going back to, because I'm thinking, like, I put everything in my compost because I know where I take it is a place like yours. And so I know that they can take everything, right? Tell us a little bit about how that works.
About deciding, like...
Yeah, or, you know, just that you take food scraps that we can't compost in backyard areas. I guess maybe a bit more about your business model.
Oh, sure. So we collect food scraps and then we partner with farms and gardens around the Cincinnati region to compost everything. Like Michelle mentioned, we don't have like a large scale facility around here. So we really needed to get creative of who could use compost and who could benefit from it. Farms and gardens have the ability to do that on sort of this like medium scale. And can compost for people who aren't able to do it at home.
Yeah. Or if you don't have a yard, what are your options? Maybe Angelina, you said, I think that you started this in your basement.
So I just had bins in my basement where I was doing my science fair project trying to get them to compost. And I actually did get actual compost from these 5-gallon containers. I put a couple of worms in there and the microorganisms just ate it up because it was in a warm environment throughout the winter. But I think if you don't have a yard or a space to compost at home, taking it to a community center is probably the best way to compost your waste. And you know that it's going to be going to, that the compost is actually going to be used when it's finished.
And
yeah, go ahead.
I think another really important thing when thinking about composting is that it is different than trash and recycling because it is a process we can do in our backyard. So when we think about, you know, creating the system of citywide or countywide composting, really envisioning and seeing how we can do it on these multiple scales. We don't need like one big site to do it all. That is helpful, but having a multi-tiered network can be really useful within our own neighborhoods too.
Well, and I imagine that there are some regulations on it. I'm thinking specifically, maybe I've been told by somebody I was in a conversation with about composting, and they said, "Oh, we're not allowed to have compost bins." I don't remember what part of town it was, so I don't want to call them out. But are there regulations against composting?
There are. It's pretty limited when you're talking about backyard composting. We have 48 communities in Hamilton County, so they all jurisdictions, they can come up with their own. And then on top of that, sometimes homeowners associations will say, you know, we're not going to allow that. It's pretty rare, but I have heard of that every once in a while. Usually it's around how close you can have it to your fence or your property line. And you have to have a small, it can't be creating a nuisance for your neighbors. But if you're talking about a little bit larger scale, it has to be under 500 square feet. So if you're operating without a license from Ohio EPA and doing, you know, in a community garden or whatever, you have to keep your composting area under 500 square feet.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm thinking of some of those places that have the big community gardens, like you said. So are they allowed to have a composting right there? You're nodding
Absolutely.
Your head.
Yes,
it just has to
allowed.
Meet those regulations.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are some tips and tricks for people who compost at home? Maybe, you know, like you can buy those little things that sit on your counter, but then they attract like pests and things. Like, so what are some good tips and tricks for home composters?
So keep a bin in your kitchen that you collect the compost, but that you take out regularly to your compost pile outside. And especially keep it visible. So you're seeing it, and whenever you have a banana peel or an apple core, it's immediately going into the compost bin. That's a really good way to encourage the habit, is by keeping your inside bin visible and then being able to offload it every couple of days.
And I think another really great solution, too, if you have space in your freezer, you can freeze your food scraps. And it's probably the cleanest way to collect them, because it's not decomposing and getting really juicy. And then you can just, dump it right in.
This is my favorite tip, Marie. And this is what I do. I literally, like, had to shove everything aside in my freezer, and I keep my compost bin in my freezer.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And then it's, then it dumps out easier, too, when I take it to the place where I dump it. So I really like that. Yeah. What else? What about the smell, though? I mean, obviously freeze it, that's good. But, you know, if you're like, I have too much stuff in my freezer, it can't fit. What are some tricks for knocking down the smell?
So have a bin with a lid. A well-sealing lid is probably the best. Honestly, at my house, we just use old salad containers, and they come with a lid, and we just place it gently over the top. And I mean, we're a family of four. We're producing enough compost to fill up that salad container bin within 2 or 3 days. And so we're regularly taking it out. But I've done a composting program at my school where I used Tidy Cat buckets, and they had really well sealing lids. And I never had a problem, if the lids were properly closed, with the smell or with bugs.
And I think I've seen some on the market that have like carbon filtration or something. What I mean, is that just a nice gimmick or?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I've used one of those before. And I think the most important thing is that it has a tight sealing lid. I do have one that has a carbon filter. I can't say that it's any better than the other ones, but it might help.
Mm-hmm. How do you know if you are composting at home? How do you know when your compost is ready to, you know, be used? And then how do you use it? But how do you know when it's ready?
Yeah. So composting at home, it's going to be a longer process. And so I think that it's, you know, you want it to look homogenous. You don't want to be seeing food scraps visibly. That's definitely a sign it's not ready. But then I let mine sit for like a year. You know, I fill it up, and then a year later I come back and sift it out. So it is a longer, slower process, but, you know, making sure that it is fully broken down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, if you're unsure if it's finished, there's no harm in waiting a little longer for that decomposition to completely finish. So if you're unsure, wait a couple of months, see where it is there.
Okay, and then... How much of your compost can you use, and where around your house or your yard or wherever can you use it?
So I will say one of the most satisfying things that you can do is screening your compost. So, you know, you've taken this material that people think of as garbage, and you yourself have turned it, like Marie said, you can do it in your own backyard, turned it into a beautiful resource, and then you sift it yourself, and what you come out with is this just gorgeous, earthy, crumbly material. I like to use it as mulch on my existing beds. I think that that's the easiest way. You can also dig it into a new bed if you have soil that is maybe heavy in clay that could use the compost. If you only have lawn, you can actually spread it in a really thin layer over top of your grass. You can use it to make something called compost tea if you want to use it as a liquid fertilizer. But if you use it in potted plants, you want to use about one part compost and 2 to 3 parts potting soil, because it is really nutrient dense and it has too many nutrients for the potted plants.
That's another question in general. Like, can you dump too much compost in wherever you're putting it?
In a potted plant, you can, but if you're doing it like around a tree or even in a raised bed, it's kind of hard to use too much compost. But it is a soil amendment. It's not actually soil. It doesn't have the minerals and other nutrients that real soil would have. So you do need to incorporate that.
Okay. And Angelina, your product, where are you in that? Is that like, can I buy it?
Yeah. So you can join our movement at comphigh.co. We are now selling our first 100 devices, and we're calling them the Founders Edition. But for people who want something to kick them back into composting or to have a way to start composting, it's a really good device, and we call it a Fitbit for your compost. So it basically tells you exactly what you're doing and what you can do better.
All right. I wish everyone could see the joy on her face when she talks about composting. Just in the last 30 seconds, each of you, what do you think is the biggest misconception about composting, Marie?
That it's hard. Yeah, I think it's not very complicated. Once you start doing it, you realize, just a couple steps.
Angelina?
Yeah. Taking away the complexity of, or this perceived complexity of composting. It's actually very simple.
Okay. And Michelle?
Yeah, and I would agree. I think that a lot of people believe they need to buy some $200 compost tumbler. And if you want to, you can. But you really can just use some chicken wire or even just have a pile in your backyard if your backyard's big enough. So it can be pretty simple.
And where can people, again, find resources if they are going to start this?
So we have some really great resources at HamiltonCountyResource.org. You can look up our compost blog, which is Confessions of a Composter. You can find our compost bin sale. We're having our last pickup next Tuesday, so you can buy one then.
All right, very good. Thank you so much for being here. Our guests today were Michelle Balls with Hamilton County Resource, Queen City Commons founder Marie Hopkins, and CompHigh co-founder Angelina DiPaolo. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. If you miss our program live, you can subscribe to Cincinnati Edition wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Tana Weingartner. Thank you so much for listening today. And please tell your pets I said hello.